The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Hi there, and welcome to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross and, I believe, Dan DuBose. Dan, are you on yet?
I am.
Okay, great. And as you know, on the Sunday show we try to get as specific as we can on some syndication opportunities that are out there. We've got what I think will be an enlightening show today with a project up in Dallas that is a 506C transaction. And I guess if I had to do a title or a subtitle, the name of the show would be something along the lines of how do you determine if a deal is not investor friendly, because there's many transactions you'll pick up, just like the current one, where, you know, the webinar that's provided talks about how they put the investor first. I've seen this, by the way, this syndicator several times before, and I guess they forget about the fact that some people have looked at their prior deals and they forget that I personally have asked them to explain what makes their deals investor friendly, because the way I look at them, or how do they determine they're putting in the investor first? And we'll give you some examples today out of the documents how that's anything but how these projects are operated. And if you can find a syndicator that does indeed put the investor first, please let me know who it is that you're looking at so I can understand and add them to. I've got a very short list of those guys and gals, and be great if we could find some others that truly believe that. But in any event, I want to just mention that, you know, the strategies that we're talking about today are educational in nature. We hope you get some entertainment out of this show, but that's not our focus, as are some of the other real estate shows that come on and talk about wealth creation and financial freedom and working on your retirement, you know, one retirement at a time, I think's the phrase that I hear self-made millionaire use. And I'll just tell you, that particular platform works on sending your family's net worth, or at least 30 to 40% of it, to the IRS, one retirement at a time, maybe. I've seen that happen firsthand. But in any event, I want to just remind you again that these strategies may not apply, or these prospective investments may not apply to your facts and circumstances. And, you know, you should always consult with your existing professionals, be it legal, real estate, tax, etc. And, you know, the problem I think most people run into is their current advisors don't understand these transactions. And I know specifically on the legal front, most attorneys that I know that are not in syndication law will never finish. I mean, they'll see things in these documents that they won't believe exist, and they'll scare the living daylights out of you, to use an old expression. But in any event, if you are interested in learning how to get off the lifetime deferral treadmill, access your family's retirement funds now to invest in real estate private partnerships so that your retirement lifestyle can literally double over the next, 10, 15 years, however long you have we can certainly get started on that. In some cases, achieve it if you are able to get into the investments that provide above average returns. So don't put off your retirement for another 10 years or put it off for 10 years, but be working on making that retirement have enough retirement wealth so that you can live normally or comfortably in those years. Dan, you know, I heard a comment on the show that comes on before our Saturday show that you can't get rich quick with your IRA or 401k. And I guess my response to that is, really? And I'm curious, knowing what you and I know, why do you think that's a false statement? And if you want me to give you some starter material, I'm happy to do it. But I think you've got a pretty savvy answer, perhaps, right?
I'm not sure what you're getting at, Nathan. I'm sorry.
Well, what I'm going to suggest to you, if you understand the self-directed model and you understand that the current year maximum is $67,500 that a self-employed party can contribute, that sure sounds like you could make up some pretty major ground if you're behind on investing. And you would do it with the same investments, real estate private partnership investments, that the folks that make this claim are referring to. And so I guess that's what I think you and I understand, is that, you know, we have some options. It's not necessarily the fact that it's an IRA or a 401. I mean, it is in part. It's the structure that helps because you're able to keep more dollars in the game. But it's also the above average return that these investments will return if you get in the right ones. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today with regard to this offering that's up in the Dallas area. And Dan, why don't you give us just a few of the details? What's the class? How many units? What part of Dallas it's in? I've never heard of this city. I don't know if you know where that is, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's way up on the north side of Dallas. I say way up. It's probably 15, 20 minutes to downtown Dallas. It's a Class A property, 336 units, a very nice looking with the pictures. It's a very pretty property. It's brand new, built in 2021. Not much you can do to improve on something that's brand new, in my opinion, but these guys say they're going to spend some money and improve it. So it's a great location, I think, for the Dallas area. It's kind of like in Houston. A lot of people know Houston. It might be something like Katy or Sugar Land, you know, where you have very suburban, very nice new developments.
Well, it shows an address in Aubrey, Texas. I don't know where
Aubrey,
that is. Is that close
Texas,
to Allen, maybe? Or where is that? I know where Allen is.
It's north and west of Allen is what I looked at it on the map.
Okay. And let's see. I was going to ask you something else. It was a 2021. Oh, what's the current occupancy as they acquire this property? Did you happen to catch that?
It's not real high. That's one of the things they're selling on, is getting it more occupied. I think they said 56% or something. It was fairly low. But what they're trying to do is get new rents, or get increased occupancy and increased rents, of course.
Yeah, and we'll get into more of those details. Let's go ahead and take our first break. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose, CPAs.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I'm gonna win no matter how much I love.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross and Dan Dubose, CPA. And we were just starting to talk about the transaction we're featuring this week that, of course, we won't give out names in this case because it's not one that we're all that enthused about, I guess, number one. Number two, you know, I typically would prefer to have the syndicator on the show at such time as we discuss some of these details if it's something that we think is a credible transaction. I think in this case, we would say it's far from credible. And we'll explain as we go through the details. And these are details that somehow, some way, you really have to be able to glean to know whether or not, or to get some idea of whether you should be investing, because, you know, we look at a transaction like this and we always recognize, hey, we've got other options on how we might spend our money or invest our money. And in fact, we've got other options just within real estate. Forget about all the other things out there in the market, et cetera. And, you know, in this case, Dan, this is a big, I mean, it's a good size asset. It's not huge, but, you know, 336 units, that's got scale, as we call it. And we do want to have scale.
$95 million is a pretty big deal, though, too.
That is. But that might mean you're overpaying. You know, did you notice the all-in cost on each unit by chance? Just curious.
Yeah, I calculated that.
Like 290, 280, 280 something plus the rehab. So
282,750.
Yeah, and I don't know. Did that include the rehab? I can't remember the $500,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So bottom line, that is a pretty. You know, you're in tall cotton at that point, right? And the average rents, I would suggest, should be higher than what we're seeing here if you're going to have any or very much cream to pass out. And again, I don't know all the wherefores and whatnot that the insiders here know, but I'm curious. I'd love to see the underwriting behind this, and who knows, we may be able to get that, and that would shed some light on these things later. But it is a minimum $15 million capital raise, and I think the maximum, Dan, was, $20 million or so? And that doesn't count the private equity piece, does it? That they're still
no.
Undecided? Okay, so that was another what was that, 20, 25 million? I can't recall right off the bat. But
well, they're looking at a $70 million loan up to. So
yeah,
$5 million true. Private equity, 15%.
Yeah, that could be. I'm not certain that will occur. They've got a Class A kind of carved out for people that are putting 200,000 or more in, and there's some footnote that I saw where it says that they may opt instead to have one private equity member. Yes. They've left the door open, let's say. But anyway, so let's move into some of the details. The Class C member, we're just going to look at this at kind of the order they've got this disclosed in the private placement memorandum, the PPM, and then we've also got up on my screen next to it is the investment or investor webinar that was undertaken a month or so ago. But in any event, $75,000 is your cost of your minimum cost of let's see here, minimum cost of investment in the Class C. So that's $1,000 per unit. And then if you look at the priority of returns to that Class C investor, you've got return of capital, a preferred return, I believe it's 7% per annum, and it is accruable, meaning that if you don't get it all this year, it'll be a cumulative distribution moving forward. And there is a level at which the syndicator, once they pay, I believe it's a 15% IRR. Did you confirm that, Dan? I think that's what I was discussing with you.
Yeah, that's what we see in PPM.
Okay, so once the syndicator gets you back at least, a 15% cumulative return, which I'm not sure what year that happens, but it'd be good information to find out. Then the 70-30 split, where the syndicator is getting a 30% promote, goes to 50-50. Pretty aggressive. It's not like you've gotten your profit back. I mean, much of it, your capital and your profit. I guess you've got at least some profit, obviously. But in any event, that's a pretty aggressive nudge upward, and you know that is problematic as I see it on a deal like this, because there's not at this purchase price and some of the other investment tiers, you've got a Class A that's going to get a 10% per annum. Again, that's somebody that's putting $200,000 or more into Class A units, and then you've got a Class B that's $75,000 as well, just like C, but those folks want a higher pref or higher preferred return at 9%, and then you're getting no future profit distribution. And by the way, Class A wasn't either. So the trade-off to being first in line or second in line ahead of the Class C is that you've got no upside, which that fits private equity more than it does my clients, I'll tell you that. But any event, coming on down, I wanted to get into a subject near and dear to my heart, which is fees. And, I marvel, and Dan's already chuckling, I marvel at the audacity, what's another word here? The chutzpah, Dan? What else could we call it? I can't think of enough.
In South Texas, we call it guts, I think. The guts to do that.
There you go. And, when you look at the fees, and I've got the section here in the PPM that has fees disclosed. Oh, before we get into fees, because we only have a couple minutes here before the break, let's talk about the debt guarantors. There's a section in the PPM, and I'm going to read it. It says, the principal indebtedness of the company, including the acquisition loan, will be personally guaranteed by certain key principals of the manager. And it goes on to say that Class A members, Class B, and Class C will have no personal liability for the debts of the company. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a gross mischaracterization of the debt guarantee rules. And the only reason I mention this to you is these guys that are putting this deal on, and I believe they're all male. I don't think there's any females. If there is, I apologize for that characterization. They are going to have a whopping total on a $95 million deal with at least a $15 million, maybe $20 million capital raise by the worker bees, let's call it, clients like mine, are going to have a whopping total of $5,000 in capital contribution. That's, to me, just, it's incorrigible. I mean, why in the world would we invest our money with somebody that's got so little skin in the game? And if you say, well, they're personally guaranteeing the debt. No, they're not. This is a qualified non-recourse loan. There's a key principle guarantee provided, which is not personal guarantees. A personal guarantee means they're staking their personal assets against that loan. A key principle form of guarantee is what we call the industry carve-outs, the, quote, bad boy, unquote, provisions, where the bookkeeper absconds with the money and goes to Tahiti or some other unexpected occurrence. And so now the key principals have to step up and make the payments. Totally different. I don't know that in 20 years I've ever seen a key principal on a loan have to step in and make a payment. And I don't know, Dan, have you seen that? I mean, I've seen personal guarantees that got called because of assorted reasons. But I don't know that I've ever seen, and I'm not saying it hadn't happened. It probably has. I know during the beginning of COVID, there was talk, there was noise, let's say, about some lenders trying to make it sound like that COVID was part of those carve-outs, which I don't think I ever saw the case where a lender actually pursued that. But I don't know. Have you seen any KPs or key principals have to pony up?
I have not. The last 20 years has been pretty good to everybody. So,
well, I know key principals that make an extra point and a half, 2%. On these deals, because the large majority of the indebtedness that's been undertaken lately has been qualified non-recourse, unless you're buying something in the smaller apartment building class, which we are starting to look at. And I would tell you that for those of you that are a bit miffed at being asked to pay these kind of fees and having your capital diluted, which we'll tell you in a minute how we feel this, how much of a dilution it is, we're going to suggest that you may want to take a look at the small apartment class, and perhaps we can work with two or three of our clients together to put those transactions together. Because, you know, if you structure them right, let's look at it this way, Dan. Just curious how you might analyze this. And remember, I'm just a caveman, right? Caveman accountant. But what I know is that if I've got a certain dilution, let's call it 50%, because that's actually, you're at that level or higher on this deal. That means that every dollar you put in, you're actually going to have working in the deal 50 cents. The other 50%, or the other 50 cents, where does that go? Well, it goes to the assortment of fees we're going to talk about after the break. And so at some point, for you to hit a single, you really got to hit a triple, you know, if you're putting in baseball parlance, because you've got fewer, dollars working for you. So at some point, you might start to ask, well, gee, what if I put my money into a deal where 100% of it went into buying the cash flow generating asset? And you might be shocked to learn that you could have a lot less cream or a lot less cash flow and a better return on your money. And I think a lot of people kind of overlook that option, and they think, well, you know, I don't want to get out of bed every morning and go run those apartments. Well, you know, on a smaller transaction, you can still have a property manager. There's still things you can do to mitigate some of that, or you can step up to maybe on your second, third, fourth deal, you may do maybe 150-unit transaction, get into where there is some scale, and maybe you syndicate. And, you know, for those of you that think I've got two smallish properties, and I'll tell you that the work I see some of my clients put out on a 150-unit deal is no more aggressive as what I have to do. So I'm going to tell you there's some line you cross there where by having the additional scale, you've got the ability to engage a more, you know, formal team, you know, to help run the deal. Looks like we're at the point we need to take a second break. Let's go ahead and do that, and then we will be back to talk more about this particular syndication in the Dallas market. Thank you.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back for more of the Be A Planner Syndication Mass Show this week. And right before we left, we were talking more about this 506C transaction, 330-plus units in the Aubrey, Texas location in Dallas. And, you know, there's assorted issues on this transaction that are red flags to us as folks that look at these deals all the time. And, by the way, you know, I could give you some of these issues we're going to be talking to you about. This is the third transaction that I have seen come from this particular syndicator. And, you know, I've discussed, if you back up to the first one of the three, I discussed some pretty major issues regarding these documents that I see he still is choosing to mischaracterize. The debt issue that I just mentioned is one of them. And to continue to say that the debt is personally guaranteed is just, it's a fallacy. It's wrong. It's not personally guaranteed. You know, he will not lose any money other than his $5,000, perhaps, if this deal were to totally go under, unless it went under because of fraud or you know, a bookkeeper absconding with the funds, et cetera. But it's not like if a hurricane came in and wiped it out, that these guarantors would have to step up and make good on the qualified non-recourse guarantee. And I would blame counsel on this as much as I would this particular syndicator. The counsel involved here, I've been on those three-way conversations back on the first of the three transactions he's done. And I'll just tell you, some of the sloppiest documents I've seen, cases where, you know, they copied a waterfall provision down from the first round down to the second or third, and then I guess got interrupted, maybe got a phone call. I know what that's like. I understand things happen. But to not – and then, of course, he didn't go in and change the verbiage, so you'd have two or more waterfalls that had the exact same language. That's just unforgivable in professional work. And again, I'm not saying people don't make mistakes. We used to draft operating agreements on these transactions, over $500 million worth back in the day, and I know we made mistakes, but I don't know that we made any that actually got out the door past multiple reviews. I'm sure there probably was, but nobody bothered to tell me on a three-way call that we had, or Dan, I think I would have gone and cleaned them up, right? It's like, man, yeah, you're going to go to a point of executing, and you've got these mistakes. And, you know, I'm seeing on this transaction, I'm seeing some of the same ones that I personally explained to both the attorney and the syndicator. Hey, this is wrong. You got to fix this. And one that Dan pointed out to me is that one spot in the, I'm not sure if it was in the webinar or it was one spot in the webinar and one spot in the PPM, they talk about a $65 million debt. Or mortgage, and then they say it's 70 somewhere else. Well, guys, these are material numbers on a $95 million deal. You might say, oh, well, gee, Nathan, it's only 6 or 7%. Well, okay, adjust your returns by 6 or 7% and tell me you're okay with that, right? Because that's what would happen if you were going up in the amount. Correct, Dan?
Yeah, yes.
And so, in any event, so let's go to the fees, and you know, this will keep us going here for a little bit, I think. And then I want to come. Well, we'll come back. We'll circle back to waterfalls here at some point. But fee wise, let me get on down here. Okay, we've got the obligatory 2% asset management fee, 3% property management, and you know, you're talking about rents that are 7 to 8 million, maybe 8.5 million a year. So what is that, Dan? 5%, that's $400,000 in fees. That's fairly normal. I call it obligatory just because you're not really going to see many offerings, many syndications where you'll be able to get a property manager for 1.5% or some low number. If they are, it's being made up elsewhere. So, you know, just be aware of that. But we've got an acquisition fee of 1.5%. Dan, how much was the acquisition again? Not the capital raise, but the acquisition.
$95 million.
$95 million. And so I don't know if you've got your trusty calculator up. It's going to be somewhere between probably 1.3, let's see, 95 million times 0.015. Okay, so there's $1.4 million. And when does that get paid? Let me read it. The manager shall receive an acquisition. Really? That's right. Thank you, Dan. That's my term. I'll proudly claim ownership of that. So on day zero, these guys that talk about putting the investor first are taking $1.425 million out. Now, that's just the fee for acquisition. That doesn't count. It troubles me when syndicators list expense reimbursements as part of the fees in the fee section of the PPM. And I don't know about you, Dan, but that's a little bit too colloquial for my, feeling that you should bake expense reimbursements into the fee. Shouldn't those be like one-off type things? I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying all the syndications don't have it. I just don't like it. And I'll tell you right now, nobody gets to go behind the syndicator and see what's floating out of these deals for expense reimbursements. But I can almost assure you that if you had that opportunity, which is maybe something you should negotiate for, we'll be happy to help you on that front. You should request access to see the expense reimbursements, the documentation supporting it, et cetera. But anyway, so you got the acquisition fee. You've got a development slash rehab fee based on the budgeted cost. And, you know, do they ever come in over budget? Until very recently, they probably don't. You know, if they come in, they may come in under budget more than you would imagine. And, of course, they don't go back and adjust their fees for development and rehab if you end up spending less. And, in fact, I've known syndicators along the way that not only kept the fees, they kept the excess funds that weren't used to complete the rehab. An absolute, it ought to be a criminal act, and it probably is. I'm not so sure that was ever disclosed to the partners involved, but that's happened probably more than a few times. And you know, besides the one time that I know occurred, okay? So in any event, then we move on. I don't see a refinance fee. Did you run across a refinance fee?
No, but it may be buried okay. in there somewhere. Could that come under like a disposition fee?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Not well, you know, some syndicators call it refi slash distribution or disposition. I didn't dig far enough, I'll have to admit. We just got this thing here a couple days ago. But the disposition fee is 2%. Now, Dan, did you happen to notice what this project is projected to sell for down the road?
I didn't see the deal. I hadn't looked at that part of it.
Okay, but we know it's going to be north of $100 million. Otherwise, there's no way. Right, that's right. We know none of this will make sense. So $100 million is easy calculation. So that gets us. And I guess if you wanted to assume a 20% rent growth, which is the assumption being used for the first 3 years, just based on that, you've got probably $9 million. So if you divided that by, well, I don't know what cap rate they were assuming here, but bottom line is this has to be 100 to 105, maybe as much as 110 projected sales price, right? Oh, cap rate. They're using 6.4%. So on the exit, let's see, is this, doesn't really say how many years out. So that would give us at least, I think I've got this right, about $110 million sales price. So you're looking at another $2.2 million in fees. And that's before you've gotten your money back necessarily. Now, I'm not suggesting that's going to happen. I'm just telling you, guess how many votes that you get to participate in to determine whether or not to sell this property. You got any idea, Dan? Yeah, there you go. Nada. Nada. So think about the scenario where the manager gets this property. You know what's coming with the inflationary tendencies, the recession that's looming, or at least a lot of economists think it is. Could you see a scenario where 3 years down the road, you know, the management team has really been fighting hard, they're not making the progress they think, but they've got a number they could sell this thing for that would get the lender paid off and whatever expenses they hadn't paid and just be enough to pay them a 2% disposition fee? Do you think that might happen? And I'm just telling you, it could, okay? And even though they say here on disposition fee, the manager shall receive a commercially reasonable disposition fee up to 2% on the sale price of the property, payable in full at closing of the disposition of the property, which shall be determined based on market conditions at the time of sale. So who do you think's making that determination? And I'll just tell you, in their sole discretion, this management team is the folks that are driving the wagon on that. And I'll tell you, it's embarrassing in my mind that this kind of language and these kind of fees are allowed. If you go, I'm going to tell you another little trick that I like doing is just doing a search on sole discretion and see how many times that pops up in these deal document stacks like we're looking at. And you'll find it's a pretty healthy chunk. I want to pivot here momentarily. So we've discussed the fees. I want to discuss the promote. You know, the promote effectively is a fee. And in fact, back in the good old days, you know, 2 years ago or less, the promote would have been the major compensation to the syndicator. So, you know, they would go out, find the transaction, put this thing together. They would, in fact, you know, get reimbursed for every dollar they spent, you know, on putting the deal together. So it's not like it was really coming out of their pocket. I mean, they may have fronted the dollars, which, okay, that's called putting your big boy pants on or big girl pants, as the case may be, if you're going to be a syndicator. And you should be the one that's putting that money up to do, you know, assorted due diligence, including appraisals, including environmental studies, including doing rate locks, things of that nature. And so, but you're going to get every single dollar of that back. Plus, you're going to get in this case, a 30% promote that might scale to 50 if they're successful at getting you even a 15% internal rate of return, which that's not, by the way, that's not anywhere close to what we sign up for on these transactions. And Dan, I know we've talked about other transactions that, you know, were much closer to 19-20% IRRs. That's more in line with what we would sign up for. But bottom line is, that's not a real high hurdle. Before now, they're taking 50% of the distributions that are coming out. And I guess the pref has gone away at that point, I believe, if I understood the way that was designed. But in any event, that's it amazes me. 30%. Now, Dan, you're much smarter than I am as a caveman, but just tell me, what's 30% of 90? Just call it $100 million. What's that worth?
$30 million?
Yeah, there you go. So I'm curious, so all these other fees, I mean, this $4 to $5 million in fees, effectively, not counting property management and asset management, do you not understand now just how egregious that this compensation scheme is? And this isn't unusual. Heck, we see people taking 4% and 5% acquisition fees out these days, and not on a small amount of money. I know, you know, it's tempting to say, well, those are 50 unit transactions. Well, some of them are, but some of them are the same size as this transaction. Just looked at a deal, well, it's been 6 months ago now, in Cyprus. One of the local syndicators took a collective 5%. He didn't call it an acquisition fee. He called part of it a capital raise. He called part of it a debt placement. He called part of it a due diligence fee. And then, oh, yeah, there was a smallish acquisition fee, thinking, I guess, had the construction, the obligatory or the not obligatory construction management fee on a $10 million rehab, I believe it was. It was not a small amount of money. So, you know, this isn't egregious percentage-wise. It's just the whole concept that you're handing the team here $30 million interest. For them to get 30% of the cash flows in this transaction, if they were an investor, they would have to put $30 million in. That's just, I don't know. That's hard to explain how anybody looks at these deals and says, oh, yeah, I want some of that. Because there are some syndicators out there that cap their compensation, or it's based on you getting your money back first, and including the profits, McCann Investment Group, you've heard us talk about before, is one syndicator that's done that on at least one transaction we worked with them on. And I say worked with them. We didn't do it on a paid consulting basis. We simply approached Medina Shake, the syndicator on that deal, and got his approvals to realign the timing of you getting your money back as he, the syndicator, was getting his. Or actually, we stepped in front of him to a certain extent. And those are that is putting the investor first. And so I really want to differentiate the two structures where you've got anything but putting the investor first. And I would challenge any of you that may be looking at this deal, call these guys up. You know who they are. I'm just going to say I really enjoy looking at their documents, if that gives you perhaps a hint, and ask them, okay, well, I see where there's an acquisition fee being paid at closing. How much are we getting at closing as investors? And once you go through these fees, I see the asset management fee is paid monthly, and it's paid. That's the first thing out of the pot when it comes to paying. And how much did we get as investors on that, in front of or collateral to that payment? And then you'll begin to understand why this is a farce for them to make this claim. And by the way, I've been over all this with this team not long ago, and yet they persist in making these statements, which I will call out every time I see a deal that's undertaken by them. It's just unbelievably egregious. But anyway, let's see. We need to take another break real quick. We're only going to have a couple minutes when we get back, but let's go ahead and do that last break here if we can.
Is it easy? Can I fix it? No, can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man. Be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I want. Big dreams and faded jeans. And there are many just like me with big dreams and faded jeans.
Welcome back to the final segment. Boy, it's going to be a short one here. We've got about 5 minutes left. we're talking about this Class C investment. I'm trying to think, Dan, what other highlights? We've only got a couple minutes. Should we interject here on this particular show? We might want to do another show next week, perhaps, on some more of the details. But curious. Let me just scroll down and look. Oh, I know. The biggest one. I should have started with this. You know, in this PPM, in at least two spots, maybe three, I'm going to read you verbatim after what I've just told you, and I guess maybe it is good that we do this after the fact. Here we go. The company manager and their affiliates will not receive any fees in conjunction with this offering. Period. And then they say it again two sentences later. Although the manager and their affiliates will not receive any fees related to the offering, the manager and the affiliates will retain ownership of a certain number of the issued units of the company as described herein. Additionally, the manager and their affiliates will receive certain compensation for the administration, operations, and management of the company on an ongoing basis in the form of certain fees. That would be the property management and asset management. But it goes on to say that aside from a nominal amount of capital, it's $5,000, there is no requirement that the manager puts any capital into the transaction. You know, theft is a great job if you don't have to do time, right? And if you think about, and I'm being a little facetious, but you think about taking $30 million on day zero in the terms of what they would have to pay in or contribute capital to get the returns that they are, and they're putting zero, or they're putting $5,000 in. And then when you think about further the fees, that additional $4 million, and to just get back to the point we were talking about earlier, capital dilution. You've got to focus on that if you're an investor, because you've got the ability now with, you know, there's a bunch of small apartment sellers out there, you know, with the economy starting to tighten. You've got folks that are older in life that like to get off the elevator, if you will, or the roller coaster. I guess you could look at it both ways, right, Dan? But I don't know. I think that based on looking at this transaction, and this is not unusual, I just think we've really got to start looking at some of the other options if you're the type that's putting you know, major amounts of your money into these transactions. So anyway, well, listen, we're at the end of the show. Any of you that want to work with us, go to our website, baplanner.com, fill out the client intake form so we can learn a little bit about your facts and circumstances. We're happy to do this kind of work for you, and so that you can make smarter decisions on these real estate private partnership investments. Dan, thanks for joining again this week. We look forward to our next show on Saturday of this coming week, 5 p.m. right here on KSEB. So long for now.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEB.